Welcome to Talking Fußball Fantasy, your source for all things official fantasy Bundesliga, with player picks as on-trend as sharing the spoils, fancy advice as hot as André Silva's goal-scoring form, and two pundits who both finished in the top 200 on a match day for the first time in what seems like a while. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. My name is James Sarrogood. This is Talking Fußball Fantasy, Season 4, Match Day 22, and joining me, as always, the fantasy Fußball god himself, Flo Reinicke. Flo, there were draws galore on match day 21, but the good news was that there were still a fair few fantasy points out there to be won as well.
Yeah, but still it was a very, very boring match day. So I'm really happy we got that in the rear view mirror already. And next match day is going to be exciting. We got like two big games coming up with Frankfurt, Bayern and the Riviera Derby. And I'm pretty much looking forward to it. And for me personally, it's nicer. Like, Bremen won't have lost any games until Sunday evening, so I'm can watch the other games in a good spirit.
Where is this?
Because it's after Bremen loses a game, I'm losing interest in football for a few.
Well, I think we can all understand that, definitely. I don't think there's any shame in that. But yeah, I'm glad that you'll be able to watch it unfiltered at the beginning. But you never know. Of course, the same way it goes the other way, right? If they win, then it changes the whole mood in a positive way as well. So we can only hope.
Yeah. And I mean, James, spring is coming to Cologne.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it.
It's going to be 18 degrees plus. And we're like, it's a swing. We almost had, double digits minus degrees like a week back. And now it's setting up nicely. I took Sunday off after the weather forecast. And now we're doing a barbecue in the garden.
Beautiful.
Just family. It's going to be lovely. So I'm in high spirits.
That's what I like to hear. That is definitely what I like to hear.
And top 200, James, you undersold it a bit. I was top 30 last.
Well, you were top 30
last match day.
I was 176. So unfortunately, I have to drag you down to top 200 as well.
So we were a few tiers apart.
We certainly were.
Just for one.
But, I'm still ahead in the one that matters, and that's the overall.
Yeah,
so
I'll
take that every day of the week right now. Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a bizarre match day. We then had the incident of the rescheduled Bielefeld match against Bremen. We lost the points in our teams, then we got them back. Although I have to say, something still seems a little bit off because I dropped five places when the points got restored. I was in 93rd place before they got taken away, and now I'm in 98th. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about it too much. I could go on a rant about why this is something that holds the official Bundesliga fantasy back a little bit when it comes to the details behind the scenes, but we might save that for a whole other episode. Instead, let's move on to some listener questions. And we'll start with one from @GavinC137. He's asking Flo, for Hoffenheim's game against Bremen closing out the match day, is it okay to look at Bebu over Kramaric?
I don't think so. I mean, Kramaric is questionable for starters. He didn't play at Dortmund. He wouldn't be very high on my shopping list, even if we get confirmation that he's fit. I doubt that we get that before Friday evening because Hoffenheim is playing this evening in Spain, their home game in the Europa League against the Norwegian side. So that's totally making sense for me. They got a positive corona test for Stefan Posch, which is like quite recent news. And I think we should be worried that more cases will pop up from now until Sunday. And I personally, I won't bring in any Hoffenheim players just for that reason alone. I think it's too risky. Who knows who's going to be next? The only guy who would be on my shopping list otherwise would be Christoph Baumgartner. And I mean, him and Posch, they both are from Austria. They're playing, I think they play together in the youth national team. Maybe they are friends. So maybe Baumgartner has a higher risk of also testing positive within a few days than other guys have. But that's just a guess. But for me, I think there are better options out there, and there are also budget options out there. So if you need a cheaper striker like Bebu is, I think there are other options there. And because of the risk of the coronavirus spreading when they have to travel as a team, I would stay away. And I mean, for what it's worth, Bremen has been not a good side to play against this year. They are the joint best defense in 2021, tied with Wolfsburg, with only 6 goals conceded so far since the year started. So I think it's like everything points in the direction of not having Hoffenheim players in their squad. And their record after playing in the Europa League is very bad this season.
It is. We will certainly mention that later. No, I couldn't agree more. I do think Hoffenheim are now starting to become risk candidates again of rotation as well because of Europa League involvement and ultimately, yeah, European football kicking off again. It does need to be something that we factor into our decision making. But as well, I mean, if we're talking about the risk of coronavirus tests and whatnot disrupting things, then the other team we should talk about are Bayern, because Benjamin Pavard is the latest to test positive there after Thomas Müller. And there's a question whether there's going to be a few more dominoes that fall, you know, be over the next couple of weeks as well when it comes to the Bayern squad. So a question on them, because I know, Flo, as well, you took Kimmich out and it was a stroke of genius for the Bielefeld game. I kept him in mainly because I had other priorities, but I'm thinking of getting rid of him this week. So a question from a listener at Yasak_Krishnan asking, who is the better pick between Sané or Kimmich for a way to get into the Bayern midfield? Firstly, explain your thinking behind the Kimmich decision and then maybe give the answer to Yashak's question.
So I wasn't 100% sure that Kimmich will play. I thought maybe he'd get rested. I felt more confident with Lewandowski, like I explained last episode, because
You were spot on with
record.
That as well. Spot on.
Because of like his possibility of getting the record. I'm not planning on bringing in Kimmich anytime soon. As long as I see the risk that he's going to play as a holding midfielder, or maybe at Frankfurt, he might even play as a right back, because there's a big, big hole there. And Bonazar played against Bielefeld. He was outplayed by Andreas Vogelsammer. I mean, that's like that was happening. He couldn't handle him. He had to be taken off, I think, after 60 minutes, because he was so poor. And I mean, who's playing on the left flank for Frankfurt? Do they have someone who's any good?
I don't know. I mean, he's a bit average. His crossing's a bit hit and miss, Flo. So, like, you know, I don't really know where the jury stands on Filip Kostic at all. No,
he has decently quick feet as well.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? I don't know. So, I wonder whether Zula might be the matchup against him. I have wondered that, but Kimmich is the other option. So
I think Kimmich is probably the only one who would be able to handle Kostic. I'm not sure that Zule is agile enough to do that. So both probably would need help. But I think Kimmich will probably play in a more defensive role at Frankfurt and maybe even going forward, as long as Bayern has some injury issues and Kimmich is hold back in his role. And then he's just like, he only has set pieces left, which is like he's able to score decent amount of points with that. We've seen that in the past, but I don't think it's likely we'll see that 30-point game, 20-point game often when he plays in a defensive role.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's why I'm not sure I have said that. That's why I would prefer Sané. So I'm not looking to bring in expensive Bayern midfielder this week. So I would look elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I certainly this weekend would say that there are better options in that high-priced range. But in giving all your arguments as to why you wouldn't have Kimmich, I think you are giving the argument that you would have Sané over Kimmich in the end. So I think you did answer it. But that's it. I was glad to have him in my squad for that 31-point game against Schalke back on match day 18. But at one point I thought, oh, that might be, it's not the case if that would be a baseline. But the baseline of maybe 10 points and up for Kimmich is one that I could work with his 18 million price range. Now I'm a little bit concerned because of the potential positional changes that you've mentioned. And the Schalke game, for instance, we want to use that example. That's an exceptional game where he picked up 3 assists in that game. And even with set pieces, that's not going to happen that often. You know, it's a case of, you know, you can bank on getting one every now and again from his involvement in set pieces, given Bayern's propensity for scoring goals. But I think, yeah, that's a good way to answer that. I think one of the big, I mean, we've got a couple of listener questions to go, but the big talking point is this Frankfurt Bayern game. And I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but let's move on to our next listener question, because it's from @rookie_CR asking, you know, I'm too worried to have four Frankfurt assets in my squad. I'm thinking about dropping Yunus and therefore keeping Kostic, Durm, and maybe Silva. Although he does put in brackets, I could drop him for Weghorst and Leon or Leon Bailey. And given the doubts about his fitness, that might be a good move forward, @rookie_CR. But then he also asked about bringing Wolfsburg players in, because they do have a good run of fixtures. Not only that, but they're also performing quite well in the Bundesliga right now, Flo. And it's not just their backline that offers avenues into fantasy points. There are a smattering of options in this Wolfsburg side that all could do a very good job for people.
Yeah, I think looking at Wolfsburg asset is a smart move. And that's what definitely what I'm going to do, probably. I brought in Ottavio last week, planning ahead how Wolfsburg fixtures are looking in recent weeks. Out of the four Frankfurt players you mentioned, I think I'm leaning towards selling Yunus as well as the most likely one to get subbed out early on and maybe not play that pivotal role that Kostic can. So I think Kostic can have a pretty good game against Bayern. He can be a matchup nightmare on the wing. I'm not sure, like, Bayern would have to sacrifice a lot to stop Kostic, and I'm just not sure if that's how Flick rolls. Usually he likes to play his own style of football and not to react too much of what the opponent does. So in my mind, I'm like, Your squad has to be really stacked to thinking about selling Kostic. He's just so good right now, and Bayern has issues on the right flank, so that's looking to be, or it seems to be, a pretty good matchup for Kostic.
And if Bielefeld can score three goals against Bayern, Frankfurt are capable of scoring as well. And at that point, that's not to say that there aren't goals in this game. And of course, that's fantasy value as well. And especially with Frankfurt as well, don't forget that their fixtures after, you know, the game against Bayern aren't that bad either. You know, Bremen away, then Stuttgart before the game against Leipzig. So you could ride it out with Frankfurt players and be okay. I'm personally going to be riding it out with Durm and Kostic. And I'm okay with that, because I agree with you, Flo. I'd rather sell Kimmich in my midfield than Kostic for this weekend. Definitely.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I agree. I'd rather have Kostic than Kimmich by a pretty wide margin. I think one thing we have to add is that Silva is questionable and Durm is questionable. Both players took knocks in training, in practice. I expect both to play, actually. So Hütter said, we don't know what the status is. And I mean, that's a smokescreen. It's going to be a big game. I would be shocked if Silva won't play. I'm a bit more concerned with Durm, because maybe if Hütter wants to lean on the more cautious side, then a guy like Touré definitely brings in some more defensive stability. I don't expect it. I just think there's an outside chance of that happening, but yeah, well, I'm definitely looking for any news on Silva and Durm on Friday.
Yeah, I was debating even before the news of Silva having picked up a knock and maybe being a doubt. I was still rationalizing it in my head, Flo, as saying I could see him, given his form and given the way he's playing, I can see him scoring against Bayern. I think that's well within the realms of possibility. But I am certainly always a fan when it comes to my frontline of having, as if possible, three different time slots to swap your star man. And so as much as I could ride it out with Silva and Lewandowski this weekend, I would rather take Silva out for 1 week, bring in someone else that gives me a bit more flexibility, and then maybe consider bringing him in next week. I mean, this for me is one of the big talking points of this week as well, is if you look at the fixture list, not for this weekend, but next weekend, when it comes to the flexibility that we are afforded in this weekend, there's not a lot of attractive propositions out there. And Frankfurt played Friday night against Bremen, and therefore keeping Frankfurt players might not work out this weekend, but over a two weekend play could work out in our favor, because the other teams, you know, you've got Leipzig up against Gladbach, then Union against Hoffenheim, and I'd say that not a lot of other teams have a lot of players from those two sides. Mainz, Augsburg, same case. Leverkusen, Freiburg then closes out the match day. But with Leverkusen, they might be rotating because of Europa League, and that brings its own dangers as well. And so this weekend, I think, is quite easy to navigate, but I certainly feel I'm keeping one eye on next weekend as well, and therefore Frankfurt do still play an important part there.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I also think that there's going to be attacking returns. I would be surprised if that game ended in a goalless draw. I think there will be some kind of attacking fireworks at Frankfurt, and we can benefit as fantasy managers. I think the only, like, it could happen that Bayern score 3 to 4 goals. Yes. And then you would have trouble with a player like Durm, maybe. But he's so cheap that it's not like a big, a major concern. And if you sell him,
yeah.
So who are you able to bring in for that price tag? Is there a player out there who is definitely better than Durm? I don't think so. So unless you, like, you sacrifice on Nina, other position to get a higher budget and change Durm out for a higher price defender like a Christian Günther, for instance, from Freiburg, I like this week, but you have to pay like 8 million more to get him. And if you can make that work, all right, maybe that could be a decision to do, but not in the same price category. You don't get a guy who's better than Durm more than like 60% of the time. And I think that might even be a bit high.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, what, the Bayern Frankfurt, if off the top of my head, it produced 13 goals last season. It was 5-1 for Frankfurt in the Hinrunde and 5-2 for Bayern in the Rückrunde. So, I mean, the track record is that there are goals in that game, which is why it's such an interesting one that we're certainly not telling you to steer away from having involvement in that match at all. If anything, we're telling you to have involvement. It's just a case of we're all hoping that you kind of pick the right horses to back in what is a pretty talent-rich field with those two teams.
Yeah. The only thing I'm a bit afraid of with your Bayern SF would be that they're playing Cologne at home next week. Then they're starting in the... They're starting next week in the Champions League. So it's in between the Cologne game. But after that, it's the match against Dortmund. So maybe we see a bit of more rotation against Cologne. But since the week is off after the Dortmund game, in my mind, the Champions League match of Bayern was before the Dortmund game, but it's before the Cologne game. So it's probably a moot point. Just
you
don't get the last 30 seconds of your life back. I wasted it away.
Well,
my apologies.
Without being too self-deprecating, I'm sure there's a fair few seconds of life that's been wasted by people listening to this show. But hey, we appreciate everyone that does, absolutely, because we give our lives for it. Okay, you know what? I had another question, but it was ultimately about, you know, Silva being potentially dropped and whether you're still high on dropping Levy. I think we're going to be talking about it in part two anyway. So let's close part one there. We'll be back in part two to take a look at the matchday 22 fixture list. Welcome back to part two of Talking Fußball Fantasy. Time to find out who the standout choices from this weekend's fixtures will be. And we, of course, as always, start on that Friday night game. At some point, Flo, I'm just going to flip it. I'm just going to put the Sunday matches first just to freak everyone out. But for now, we'll carry on with the Friday night game first. Bielefeld against Wolfsburg. Now, Wolfsburg haven't conceded in 5 Bundesliga matches. 6 in a row would represent a club record. Meanwhile, a man that we keep mentioning, Wout Weghorst, he's been presented with a league-high 19 clear-cut chances, which is more than the entire Bielefeld team this season. He's also scored 14 all told.
Almost they double of Bielefeld's. I think it's worth mentioning. It's not just more.
Yeah, it's double. It's almost double.
Sorry, James.
Yeah. Spot on.
Bielefeld at 10 and Weghorst at 19, I think, is quite a feat.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's only scored 14 goals from 19 clear-cut chances, and they've scored 18. So, I mean, that's just the way Bielefeld roll. But you are right to point that out. So, I mean, I guess the question we've got to ask in the great debate of what to do with strikers this weekend, when we're talking about Silva, we've even got you mooting the potential of dropping Lewandowski. Is Wout Weghorst someone that is worth the Friday night punt?
Yeah, why not? I'm personally not that high on Vejos as always, but I think he's a pretty good choice. And if you're looking at standalone fixtures, like Haaland would be first in my opinion on the Saturday evening fixture, and then is a close race between Leon Bailey and Wout Weghorst. And I might even prefer Weghorst because the Europa League match of Leverkusen, they're playing at Bern. We're recording on Thursday afternoon, so we're not sure how Bosch will line up at Bern. So maybe we get some clarity. If Bailey is rested, I wouldn't have any issues with going Bailey over Weghorst. But if he plays, who knows? Maybe Bosch is looking for some more rotation on Sunday at Augsburg. I think it wouldn't be the smartest move given the poor form of Leverkusen lately. But they have a lot of games. They play the second leg next week against Bern. So it's definitely something to keep in mind. So out of the standalone fixtures, Weghorst is tied second with Bailey. For now, for me.
No, I would agree with that assessment. I actually brought Bailey in last weekend, and admittedly, I did the Bailey versus Kalajic debate, and I was regretting it. And I wonder whether I still might regret it come the end of it, because I'm thinking, okay, Bailey against Augsburg, it could work out. But you mentioned Young Boys in the Europa League. I mean, Young Boys are bossing it in the Swiss League right now. They're top of the table by a comfortable margin. You know, they're winning games left, right, and center. I have a feeling Boss is going to have to put out a pretty strong lineup for that one, and that. For me, would include Leon Bailey. So now I'm a little bit uncertain about him. But when it comes to if I'm taking out André Silva, and that was my plan before he became a doubt, my big debate was Haaland and Weghorst. And right now, Haaland, especially after what he produced last night in the Champions League, you know, he's going to win that race right now because he looked very hungry. And if you also watched the Schalke game against Union Berlin, Union should have won that game 3 or 4-0 based on the chances they had, right? And so if you give Haaland those types of chances that Schalke gave Union last week, then he's going to get a couple of goals, no doubt. But that's the thing. Weghorst is making a very good case for himself, but he continues to kind of be that threshold striker where he's not quite breaking into the elite. I can score, you know, 20 plus points on a regular basis, but if you had picked him 10 weeks ago and just stuck with him, you'd have done really well, actually, you know, over the course of the whole time, because he's just such a consistent point getter. I also want to ask you as well, we've talked about Weghorst, but with Wolfsburg, we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of players within their ranks that you really could look at as valuable fantasy players. Who tops your list outside of Weghorst? Because their next six games, Flo, are all against teams in the bottom half of the table. So this seems like a good time to invest in Wolfsburg if you want to. I mean, I've got Lacroix already, but even I'm looking at potentially trying to find out whether I can get another Wolfsburg player in there as well.
Defenders are all great for Wolfsburg because they have such a strong defense that they're picking up clean sheets regularly. And even center backs will have at least a decent showing if that team is picking up a clean sheet. I prefer Otavio because he brings, like, he's winning a lot of challenges. That's why it's giving you a healthy baseline. And sometimes he's involved in the attack and play. Sometimes he isn't. But he's still, like, he gives you a very high floor and has a high ceiling if he has a good game attacking-wise. The only thing is that Jerome Rossignol is back to full fitness. I don't expect Glasner to make a change. But there's more doubt of Otavio being dropped going forward than Mbabu, who's playing on the right flank. You have to pay a little bit more for Mbabu. I think he's around 11 million in price tag. But he's also a good one. In midfield, Arnold is a good player if we don't consider the price tag. And if we consider the price tag, I think Baku and Gerhard are both worth your thoughts to bring in. I think both are pretty decent options. And up front is Weghorst or nobody, of course.
Oh, you're telling me Daniel Gintek doesn't have a shout there? No, I mean...
He's not even in the match squad anymore. That's it. He doesn't make the match squad.
No, that's it. Valt is the number one, and rightly so, given the goal-scoring record that he's producing this season. It could actually break the Wolfsburg single-season record held by Grafic if he keeps going at this rate as well, which would be quite impressive. Yeah. But it would be remiss... Oh, you want to add?
No, I just wanted, like, I brought up the price tags. Mbabu was 11.3.
There you go.
Otavio is 9.1. And Lacroix is 5.7. So these would be the guys. If you want to be contrarian, Brooks is sitting at 8.7. Like, it's either Brooks or Lacroix. One of these two usually gets points for shots on target after set pieces. But they're mixing it up a bit. Both are good target guys. So if you're banking on Brooks getting it, I think he's probably the guy who's in the least amount of squads, or at least active squads, because I'm looking now and Otavio is in 1% of the squads and Brooks is in 3%. But there has to be some guys who set their lineup at the start of the season, didn't change it. And that's definitely, like, everyone who follows Fantasy Bundesliga is much more likely to have Otavio in their squad than Brooks. In my mind.
No, without a doubt. I think without a doubt. But it would be remiss of us not to talk about Bielefeld at all here, because what they did produce against Bayern was incredibly special and deserved 3 points. And they were unfortunate, you know, not to get all 3 points in the end. But someone stood out, and that was Michael Vlap Flo. He grabbed a goal and an assist and 11 points in that game. And I just looked at that and wondered, oh, could he rival Ritsu Doan for a bit of a mid-price differential in the Bielefeld ranks?
Yeah, and the answer is yes. A colleague of me pointed me in the direction, like, how much of a goal threat Flap was in his career so far. So the last two seasons, he played 57 games. First season was in the Belgian League, and then in the Eredivisie in the Netherlands, and the last season were at Belgium. 57 games. 26 goals. And, like, that's the first division. That's not like a Mickey Mouse league. It's not the Bundesliga, but he scored more than half the amount of goals and appearances. That dried up the current season. So in the first part of the season, he scored just one goal at Belgium, but he showed in the past that he's a goal scorer. And that's definitely something I did miss with assessing him. So I think he definitely should be on our radar. I don't think for this match. Although I have to say something. So if you're believing that you can give the fantasy feel to your children, then you guys should probably all buy Ritsu Doan, because my 7-year-old was watching as I was making my notes, and he recognized that I didn't write up any Bielefeld player, and he said, like, Doan will have a great game against Wolfsburg.
Well, there you go. I love it. I love it. I hope it comes true. He's got to recover from the knock he took against Bayern. But if he does, I'd
back it. He's questionable, yeah.
I would back it. But that's the thing. I mean, it's Bielefeld's. I mean, if we're looking at the big picture as well with Bielefeld, they also, in the next 7 match days, have the first match 4 times. Admittedly, it's this weekend, and then it's the match day 26, 27, and 28. They play first on every single occasion on that. And of course, match day 27 as well, if I'm not mistaken, is
at Leipzig.
Well, it's also without a Friday night match, if I'm not mistaken, which is why they play first 3 times. I think that's I think we come back from an international break, and that's why there's no Friday night game.
Okay.
So, but it's still something to bear in mind with Bielefeld. Act with caution.
I usually don't look that far ahead. I think you can get carried away a bit, like 3 games in advance. That's like the golden rule for me. I think looking farther ahead is like you're planning, you're banking on stuff that's probably never going to happen, because so much can change in the blink of an eye.
Well, but with a Bielefeld player, I don't think people are going to be looking to bring a Bielefeld player in and out a lot. It'll be a case of pick him, leave him, right? With a Bielefeld player, you're not going to be looking to change that up too much. And that's the only reason I bring it up. But you're right. Don't look too far ahead. It was just one factor that I wanted to throw out there as well. But okay, let's move on to the Saturday 3:30 kickoffs. We'll start with Gladbach against Mainz. We don't have many of them actually this weekend because we've got a bit more added flexibility in amongst all of this. But when it comes to Gladbach against Mainz, the Foles are unbeaten in their last 9 Bundesliga meetings, with Mainz winning the last 5 in a row, and they could do with a positive result right now, I think it's fair to say. For Mainz, defender Moussa Niakate is their top scorer this season with 3 goals, given the fact that Jean-Philippe Mateta has moved to England, and didn't see that one coming, I'll be very honest. And the fact is, he's still a goal threat, taking penalties, who knew? But who's your player pick from this game, Flo?
I'm going with Jonas Hofmann. I think it's a great bounce back spot for Gladbach as a whole, although Mainz has been looking pretty good, and like they played impressive the second half at Leverkusen, that has to be said. That wasn't fluky, although they scored 2 late goals, but they have 15-3 shots in the second half at Leverkusen. Like, kudos to Mainz. But in my mind, Marco Rose leaving to Dortmund, and there was a lot of noise around that when it was publicized, I think on Monday. And Eberl and Rolders, they came out yesterday in unison, gave a pretty good press conference in my mind. And I believe that there will be some weight off the shoulders of the players, because that was some uncertainty of the situation, and now like everything is fixed, and I believe that Gladbach can play better now that the situation is cleared up. I think Hofmann, after having quiet games or not playing at all, will be pivotal in that match against Mainz. And you know, I have a soft spot for Alisson Player. It's just the issue is, if I bring in the striker, is probably a guy playing at a standalone fixture. Although it's not like, I'm not 100%. I feel so confident that Haaland won't let me down at Schalke, that I could see me going with a guy like Player to mix things up. And I think he has a lot of potential, and we haven't seen that being capitalized on in the Bundesliga so far this season.
Yeah, definitely not in the Bundesliga. Champions League is a different story with him. It's funny though, with you, Alisson Player can do no wrong, and you're still picking time after time.
No, I just think he's a pretty good player. I like his style of play. And like, we've seen him having great games this season. It's not like he hasn't played great so far.
He's scored twice. He's only scored 2 goals this season. Yeah. And this is it. Wout Weghorst has won.
Let me talk. He hasn't played great in the Bundesliga. He has played great in the Champions League. I think the match at Inter where he scored twice and 1 goal got disallowed, but great game by him. He's a lethal goal scorer at times, so I'm still not giving up hope with Alisson Player.
No, I'm not knocking the player pick. I'm just saying it's funny how Wout Weghorst can keep scoring and you would never pick him, but Alisson Player can go and only score 2 goals this season, but he's still a candidate for you this weekend. I love the way this game works sometimes.
I mean, Alisson Player beats Wout Weghorst at Kipi Appi for like 300-3. Probably. I'm not sure that Wout Weghorst can hold the ball longer than 3 touches in the air.
But that's the beauty of Bundesliga fantasy. It doesn't matter. All he needs to be able to do is hit the back of the net. Kayubi was a terrible footballer, right? But he was a magician in the fantasy game. And there have been plenty of players like that, that, you know, they really are bog standard footballers, but somehow they make it work. You used to say that about Josef Paulsen all the time as well. So yeah, it's one of those things, right? But that's why I love this game. We all have our favorites and the players that I think we're drawn to a little bit more, and I just thought it was interesting that was the case. Let's move on to the next game, Freiburg against Union. Now, Freiburg have won all of their last 3 home meetings with Union in all competitions. In the Bundesliga right now, they're also unbeaten in their last 7 home matches, 5 wins, 2 draws, and in all of them, they've scored at least twice. So this bodes quite well, because Union are in a bit of a bad patch of form, I'd say, in terms of their results. The performances haven't been bad. We mentioned the lack of a clinical touch against Schalke, but they can't afford that against Freiburg because they will get punished more than Schalke did. So when you're looking at a player from this game flow, where are you looking?
I'm looking at a lot of Freiburg players, actually. And if this would be a standalone fixture, I could see me dipping up in pretty heavily in the Freiburg market because Union's form is not pretty good. I think it's a get-right spot for Freiburg, although they have lost in 7 games. They just scored 1 goal, I think, in the last 3 games. But they played the 2 best defenses in this year, Wolfsburg and Bremen, in this stretch. I think Freiburg can bounce back here with a good attack and return. Other issue is that they're playing Leverkusen and Leipzig the next 2 games, so it's probably, I would think about bringing in 1 Freiburg player, and I've got 1 in every position. Christian Günther defends 11.9 million. I think not a lot of people will be drawn to him, but I think he could have a good game here. Of course, Vincenzo Grifo, but he's a bit pricey, 14.2 million. I think there are good alternatives out there. Still think it's not a bad choice going with him. And up front, if you need to save money, my favorite budget striker is Ermedin Demirovic for 7.6 million. Was quiet the last 3 games, but I think he can get back to being a pretty good fantasy asset. At a more than decent price tag.
No, without a doubt. And Freiburg, I think we've been waiting for a couple of weeks to wonder when they were going to bounce back and whether they're going to become a bit of a fantasy force again, because we remember what they were doing before Christmas, and they're still very capable of that. And this could be the start, potentially, for them to go on a bit of a decent run. And I say that when they've got Leverkusen and Leipzig to come up next, actually. So maybe I have to just retract that thought a little bit. But for this weekend, I would agree with you, actually. If it was a standalone fixture, a much more attractive game to invest in. But let's move on. Köln against Stuttgart is the next one. Now, Silas Wamangatuka, he has struck a team-leading 11 times for Stuttgart in the Bundesliga, but he is without a goal in his last 2 games. Meanwhile, Sasa Kalajic, who has been making me regret not investing in him, he scored 4 of his 9 Bundesliga goals in his last 3 games and had another very good outing in terms of a fantasy returns last week. Several shots on goal, 1 goal as well. Even though the Stuttgart didn't come away with the win, he still performed very well. So Flo from Köln Stuttgart, who's your player pick?
I think the logical pick is Borna Sosa, because he showed last week how great of a fantasy player he is, especially considering his price tag. But since he's probably most of your guys' squad, I don't think there's much value in talking about Borna Sosa. Kalajic is definitely an interesting option. My feeling is that Cologne will edge out a win here. I think they did look good before the Frankfurt game. Losing at Frankfurt, there's no shame in that right now. Also, Andre Duda wasn't 100%. Marius Wolf wasn't at 100%. They were missing Ismail Jakobs. That's the perfect bridge to talk about him, because I think what we've seen this season is how important he is with his physical ability, with his speed for the Cologne match. He's definitely their best guy on the left flank. He's back at training today, so Thursday. He wasn't able to play at Frankfurt. I think he's going to play against Stuttgart, and then he would be another pretty good cheap option in defense for 5.9 million. And I think he's my favorite player out of this match, not named Borna Sosa. But of course, Kalajic is a good budget option. I think Cologne got this. I'm not sure that that's not. I've got the odds in front of me, and Stuttgart is.
Don't look at the odds.
Yeah, Kicker is coming with odds now. They got a betting partner. I'm not naming who that is, but they got the odds with all the match where I take my notes, and Stuttgart are the favorites. So, yeah. But I'm leaning Cologne here.
Hey, well, to be honest, your gut feelings have been pretty on point this season, so we should maybe take note of that. The only thing, because I also looked at Jakobs, when I was looking for my player picks, I thought Jakobs could be a great Vegas choice because of the fact, if you remember the Pokal game against Gladbach and the way Ben Zabaini really managed to get in behind Waman Gatuker, I wondered whether Jakobs could do the same if he starts. The only thing that I talked myself out of the pick was the fact that Köln have Bayern next weekend, and that was the only reason. But for a one and done, I do think Jakobs is a great pick for this game. And you know what? Stranger things have happened in the Bundesliga than Köln getting a result against Stuttgart, you know, on home soil as well, given the fact that, what, Stuttgart are really strong away from home and Köln are really not good at home.
Yeah, but I think Stuttgart, they lost their last three away games. They lost them all, and they just won one of the last six games. So I think we all, like, without Gonzalez, Stuttgart is not the same. Castro is like, maybe he's playing, but he won't be at 100% after quite lengthy hamstring issue. And so I think they're a bit overhyped for what we've seen lately. And I just think Cologne is better than most people give them credit for. And maybe Stuttgart is playing an active kind of football that might suit what Cologne does. So it's just my gut feeling, like I said before.
No, and that's absolutely fair. Okay, let's move on. Frankfurt against Bayern. To be honest, we discussed this enough in part one, but Bayern are the season's highest scorers with a club record 61 goals at this stage of a season. Frankfurt are actually next on the list with 43 goals. We've got the Lewandowski against Silva battle potentially, but is there anything that we didn't mention in part one, Flo, that you want to add to this match here?
I think Frankfurt will win this. That's my feeling. So.
Oh, he's getting... Well, your neck was partly out the window with Köln.
So yeah, maybe I'm doing like a parlay with Cologne and Frankfurt on my betting slip.
That would give some very good returns.
So I just feel Frankfurt right now, and they will be so hungry to stick it to Bayern.
And I think we shouldn't underestimate as well, Bayern are still recovering from the Club World Cup. They came back, they got thrust straight back into action against Bielefeld on a pretty snowy, like, uncomfortable evening. They're not going to be straight back in their rhythm.
And who knows who's going to be out from now until Saturday? Because, I mean, now Pavard is in quarantine. No one else is in quarantine. If you saw the picture they took at the dressing room after the Club World Cup, everyone was celebrating, no masks there. So who's going to say that there won't be like three, four different cases of Corona from now until Sunday? I'm not looking to buy into the Bayern market. And I've just got one Bayern player left, Lewandowski. And it's a toss-up between him or Silva, who I'm going to sell. If Silva is still questionable, that takes the decision off of me, because I think it's almost a coin flip. And then I maybe would rather keep Silva and sell Lewandowski because of next week's fixture. It's a Friday night fixture. I might stick with both if I'm thinking that Haaland is my rescue, get out of jail if this game doesn't the guy I pick as a starman doesn't perform in this game. But I think both can have a good game. So it's no rule that you can't have Silva and Lewandowski for that match. I think it's pretty... I have three Frankfurt players, one Bayern player. And if I go into this match with four players out of it, I'm fine with it. So I'm not trying to force the issue.
Yeah, that's it. I'm aiming for three, one in each position. Durm, Kostic, Lewandowski. That's the aim right now for me. I'm getting rid of Silva, getting rid of Kimmich. But that's because, and this is actually maybe the perfect segue into our next game, it's because there's another fixture that I've got my lips being licked at, and that is Schalke against Dortmund, the 98th Revier derby between the two in the Bundesliga era. And as we mentioned, given what Dortmund produced last night against Sevilla in the Champions League, yes, they conceded twice, and yes, it was a little nervy at the end, but there were big signs of hope for us as fantasy owners, especially when it comes to Jadon Sancho and Erling Haaland. And neither will be rested because this is the derby, and something tells me that Aiden Terzic isn't going to make the same mistake that Marco Rosa did a couple of weeks ago.
Definitely not.
And at that point, you really want to invest in this game and you really want to invest in Dortmund. So on that note, the Royal Blues have claimed more points under Christian Gross than they had in their previous 12 matches. Haaland has scored as many Bundesliga goals this season as Schalke as a whole. One person I want to ask you about, someone that we haven't mentioned yet, Flo, and I had this question down last week but didn't answer it because of time, so comes in this week. Rafael Guerrero. Is he still worth his price tag now he's part of a back four?
Not on a normal match day, but going into the derby with, like, you already said it, like, the perception is that Schalke had a decent game at Union, but, I mean, I watched that game. The bar is so low for Schalke now that, like, if they're not conceding five, they're saying, oh, that was definitely a step in the right direction. It's like, Union should have easily won that game. And I think that the Dortmund players know how important that game is to the supporters. They're taking a lot of slack lately for the way they are performing, and this is a perfect spot to rid all criticism basically of the recent weeks with one a good win. And I think it's pretty likely that that is what's going to happen here. So I'm fine with Guerrero for this game, but like, his attacking returns have dried up. Last week he gave an assist and still were only managed to get 10 points, and that's usually a sign for me. Like, if a guy is involved in a goal, I want more. I want like 15 plus points, and I want to see that. And that's also like, to go back to Weghorst, that's also an issue I have with Weghorst. Sometimes he scores and gets you 10 points. There are True. Other guys out there who get you 10 points without score.
Alisson player, right? Sorry, I had to.
And he can play the ball with a back heel as well, which in my opinion should be awarded an extra point. If you have Guerrero, I would stick with him for that match. If you don't have him, I don't think you have to bring him in for the price tag of 16.5 million, because the way the fantasy game shaped out, I think it's best to have cheaper defenders, because we have a lot of quality cheap defenders out there, and pay up in mid, especially in midfield, but up front as well. And I think Giovanni Reina has lost his starting job. So I think that's definitely something. So if any of you guys have him or still in your squad, I don't think he's going to play as a starter.
No, the script has been flipped there, because earlier it was Reina performing for a lower price tag and Sancho really below expectations. And now Sancho is firing in all cylinders and Reina is probably actually performing even below his price tag right now in terms of his output. And there's even talk of Torgan Hazard potentially coming into the starting lineup this weekend for the game against Schalke as well, just to bring in some fresh legs. But even Marco Reus looked a little sharper than we've seen him in recent months against Sevilla. The only concern from that game is that I don't think Schalke will afford Dortmund as much space on the counter as Sevilla did. I think Sevilla kind of ran into a trap there. I can't see it quite going the same way with Schalke. But I agree with all the points we've made. Let's move on to the next game and get our teeth stuck into the three Sunday fixtures we've got, starting with the early kickoff, which is at 1:30 Central European time. So a little bit earlier this weekend, with Augsburg against Leverkusen. Now, Augsburg have lost 6 of their last 7 Bundesliga matches. However, since the turn of the year, Leverkusen have only picked up 8 of a possible 24 points themselves. 2 wins, 2 draws, 4 defeats, including that game against Mainz where, they let that one slip away in very typical Leverkusen fashion. Now, the big news with Leverkusen is that Luka Tradetschke is still a doubt, which could mean that Niklas Lom stays in goal. As a result, Flo, given Leverkusen's form as well, a couple of weeks ago we were talking their back line up. Are we now saying, oh, no, actually, let's go back to the way it was. Stay away from Leverkusen's back line.
I mean, we didn't talk them up. We just said, like, we don't know what Fosu-Mensah is. So we know that the rest of the bunch isn't worth your investment in fantasy, but maybe Fosu-Mensah is, and you could jump on a train, a hype train early. But that hasn't come to fruition. So I think if you're looking to invest in Leverkusen, should be in midfield and up front. I'm staying clear of the Leverkusen defense as a whole.
Yeah, I
think if you would like stick to that rule that I sometimes broke in the past, for I'm not sure what reason, but I'm always thinking that Sinkgraven used to be a left winger, so there has to be some attacking spirit left in him, but I'm disappointed time and time after again. So I'm not looking to invest.
He comes from the Ajax, the Ajax school of thought, but he's not as attacking as you want him to be for that. But then, okay, the question with Leverkusen, you've mentioned midfield and attack. Is it really a case of we need to see who they put in the starting lineup tonight in the Europa League before we know? Because we're already, even before the Europa League, we were already doing the debate between Diaby, Bailey, Alario, Schick. So, then you throw Amiri coming back into the mix. Demirbay's had a couple of good games. So the complexion of this Leverkusen team has changed.
But Demirbay had the good games when Amiri was on the shelf. Amiri will be back for that match. I think you go with Wirtz because he's the cheapest guy. Maybe like, there are a few scenarios. Like a guy, if Wirtz gets rested, for instance, at Bern, like I've got no doubt that he's going to start at Augsburg. If they get a result like they win handily at Bern with their best 11, I believe they field their best 11 at Augsburg and will rotate in the second leg against Bern. If we see a close result with their best, I think the highest likelihood of Bosch rotating more than we would like is if it's a close game at Bern, he played his best 11, he wants them to get rested for the second leg because they definitely want to advance in the Europa League. I think that's the worst scenario in a fantasy sense. So, yeah. And that's the reason why I'm not like now thinking about I want to see the lineup, I want to see the result. I think both will play a part in what lineup we'll see at Augsburg. And I'm not looking to Alario Schick because you build in a coin flip before the match even started, who's in the starting lineup. So why would you do that? Because Diaby and Bailey, like the likelihood of them playing is much higher, especially since Bellarabi is still injured. And I think they got a few other players who are injured as well. So, I have to look at my notes here to get that right. But no attacking winger. Actually, Kicker has Bellarabi back in the match squad for this one. I'm surprised by that. I haven't heard that. But
well, it was also the type of game I wondered. You're right. Depends on the lineup and the result against Young Boys. But Demarai Gray, whether you know he's been performing well off the bench, maybe it's his first Bundesliga start in a game against Augsburg when they can afford to rest Diaby and Bailey. And I have to say that that's something that worries me as a Bailey owner myself. And that is the problem. I think I wasn't wrong to bring Bailey in. Their fixtures are good, especially not just short-term, but long-term as well, Leverkusen. But in and amongst that, I think I might hit a bit of a minefield in there with Leon Bailey in the Leverkusen front line. So I do agree with you, Flo, on that point. Shall we move on to the next game? That's Hertha against Leipzig.
Yes.
Now, Hertha are on a 7-game winless run, which is the longest such current run in the Bundesliga. On top of that, the old lady have also lost each of their last 4 home meetings with Leipzig, who have averaged 4.3 goals per game at the Olympiastadion, which is great news for fantasy owners, let's be honest. And especially if people doubled up last week. And I know we were both in that camp, Flo. We did it a bit differently. I did it with Olmo and Nkunku. You went with Nkunku and Haidara, right? And both worked out quite well.
Yeah, because of money. Because of money, James. I would have loved to get Nkunku and Olmo, but I just couldn't afford it.
Well, admittedly, I had to sacrifice Rafael Guerrero to do it. So whether that really worked out in the end, I don't know. But when it comes to those types of assets, how are we feeling about this Leipzig side? I mean, they were in Champions League action as well on Tuesday, a longer flight to Budapest and back, of course. But
yeah,
they're still going to want to make a mark here against Hertha because they can't afford to drop any more points.
Yeah, and they don't play next week, like the second leg at Liverpool. If it's even played at Liverpool, I'm not sure about that, but is the play is a week after next week. So I don't think we'll see rotation for Leipzig apart from the usual that there are some positions like Haidara or Adams who's going to play. That's some other possibilities. Mukiele is a guy who could come in, and like these are the usual uncertainties we have. But I'm pretty sure we're going to see Olmo and Nkunku in the starting lineup. So I feel good about that.
I certainly do feel good about it as well.
I don't think they have to plan what's going to happen in the Champions League anymore. I think that ship has sailed.
Well, you know what? Even as a Liverpool supporter, maybe it's because I'm a Liverpool supporter that I say this, and given our form recently, anything can happen. But I do feel very good about the position that we managed to fashion. Admittedly, I didn't think we'd win. I had it down as a 1-1 draw. I thought the first leg would be a 1-1 draw. And that was almost like me feeling that's the best that Liverpool could do. But yeah, they beat my expectations as well. It was nice to see. Although admittedly, Leipzig did shoot themselves in the foot twice. So maybe take it with a bit of a pinch of salt. But no, I agree with you about Leipzig assets. I think you can stick by them this week. And the rotation roulette of Nagelsmann won't go into full spin mode this weekend, definitely. Let's close out the match day then. Hoffenheim against Werder Bremen. Now, in Bundesliga matches played after midweek Europa League games, we mentioned they've got a bad record, Hoffenheim. It's 1-1 of 6, 2 draws and 3 defeats. That will certainly please Bremen fans listening, because as Flo has already mentioned, they do also have the joint best defence in the Bundesliga in 2021, conceding just 6 goals from 7 games. So the classic question, Flo, who do you trust to close out the match day?
Not really many. many guys out of this game. I already mentioned my concerns with Hoffenheim. So if I know that, like, no other issues and Hoeneß is playing his strongest 11, which he will, because like they have to look in the rear view mirror towards the relegation zone. They're not out of it. Would be Christoph Baumgartner for 12.1 million. Think he's the best out of the Hoffenheim bunch if it's still questionable if Kramaric is back to 100%. Of course, Kramaric could always be one of the highest scoring strikers on any given match day. And I think with Bremen, they've got some questionable players in defense, especially Marco Friedl would be a big hit if he can't play. Friedl is questionable. Velkovic is questionable. Augustinsson is questionable. So with these three guys, the presser before the match is tomorrow, so on Friday. Then maybe we'll know what's going to happen. If Friedl sits, he's playing pretty good right now. There's some talks about bigger clubs wanting to sign him. If he misses and Moisander comes in, that's a big hit for Bremen. It's just like the athletic ability is not quite on par with what Friedl brings with the 47-year-old Moisander. And
just adding a few more years on to the veteran there, yeah. I noticed. Hey, you know what? I reckon he'd still do a job for you at 47, Flo.
I'm sorry. And on the Bremen side, so Milot Rashica would probably be the only one. 12.2, did pick up 9 points without scoring last week. We've seen what we want to see from him. He shoots. And maybe one of these days he even finds the back of the net and then he'll have a pretty good game. So I think his baseline is pretty high. So I think Rashica is decent. Augustinsson took a knock, but if he's 100%, I think he's, because of his set piece use, he might be worse. And if we get word he's out, then you, Felix Agu, truce us out there.
Agu, yeah? Felix.
So enjoyable, James, because we have a video call and I can see like James lighting up as soon as James eyes lighting up as soon as I said Agu, and like his childish bemusement of being able to hit a button. That plays that loop.
It's the magic. It's the magic of technology, my friend. But yes, it is like a kid at Christmas. Yeah. Although I need to find some new sounds at some point to put on this soundboard so that I can mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. I think if we get word that Augustinsson sits, Agu is a pretty sound investment. Only problem is that it's the last game of the match day. And so it's not without risk to go in with Agu. Even if he's just 4.3, but like, the price tag doesn't matter if you have to get him out of your squad because he picks up minus 4 points.
Yeah.
Which I don't expect, but I still think it's possible.
It is possible. We've seen stranger things happen in this wonderful world of Bundesliga fantasy. But on that note, let's close out today's show with our player picks. Vegas choice flow. I'll come to you first. Who are you going for?
Yeah, it has to be Alisson Player. Bekir goal against Mainz in style.
Hey, if it happens, I'd love it. I would crack a very big smile. Definitely thinking of you. I've also gone down the Gladbach route because I do like this game at home against Mainz. And I went for Rami Benzobaini, who since coming back from, you know, his little COVID layoff is showing that he has still got that same attacking mindset. And at 12.1 million, he's up there with the Gunters that kind of, you know, you kind of break in the bank a little bit, the Mbabus that are in there as well. But I think Benzobaini could be a valuable choice. I will stress, though, it is a one and done suggestion because they do have Leipzig and Leverkusen to come in their next two games after this one against Mainz Gladbach. Super Schnäppchen flow.
I'm going with Ismail Jakobs for 5.9. I'm pretty confident that he's going to play. I think he'll can have a pretty good game against Stuttgart, especially since you mentioned that Pamangi Tuka, like he's trying to get forward, so there are spaces to be have in his back.
No, definitely. I think that could, if Kölner are to pull off the upset that you're backing them for, I think that could be the key spot that swings the fixture in their favour. Admittedly, I looked at the same game again because I was looking for a super schnepchen that was also a bit of a differential, and my eyes landed on Philipp Förster of Stuttgart because, yeah, Castro is back, but it's not guaranteed that he goes straight into the starting lineup, and therefore Förster, I think, becomes interesting. 5.5 million midfielder. He does love to get forward into attacking spaces. Scored against Bayern as well earlier this season. Against Dortmund, wasn't it? It was against Dortmund that he scored. Well, did he score? Wait, now I'm questioning it. Did he score against Bayern and Dortmund, or did he have one ruled out against Bayern?
I think he had one ruled out because of Manuel Neuer slipped.
That's
a foul in Germany. Manuel Neuer slips, definitely has, like, the VAR has to intervene there.
Well, absolutely. So, okay, yeah. There you go. No, of course not. But if you can score against Bayern and Dortmund, then maybe, you know, a game against Köln could work out well for Förster as well. Banker, Flo, who are you putting your money on?
I'm not sure if going with Erling Haaland is too boring.
It's all right. I had him down as well.
I think I have to, James. After the performance yesterday and being praised by Gary Lineker being in the same on eye level with Mbappé in the tweet of Gary Lineker. Yeah, but so if any of you guys sold Haaland because of his dip in form, I think it would be a good time to get him back into your squad because he looked like a machine at Sevilla, and I'm not sure how Schalke wants to stop him.
Yeah.
Avoni had so many clear-cut chances, and he definitely brings the physicality of Avoni, but Haaland knows how to hit the back of the net, and that's definitely something that Avoni has to learn going forward. So, yeah, I'm backing Haaland to having at least a brace here.
No, that's it. I mean, in some ways, it is a bit of a cop-out, but it was the first name I had down on my list as well. I mean, the other names I had were Sancho, Nkunku, and Kalajic, because I still think they're valuable picks this weekend in terms of the bank. But yeah, if you do not have Erling Haaland, get him this weekend, I think, is pretty much the message. And you know what? I say that with a smile on my face, having been burned by that man many a time. I'm hoping that this occasion, it doesn't come back to bite me in the rear end. But for now, ladies and gents, that brings us to an end of this week's Talking Fußball Fantasy episode. Don't forget to follow us at Talking Fußball on Twitter. Give us a like on Facebook. And if you have not yet joined the Talking Fußball Fantasy League, for now, from me, your host, James Thorogood, and the rest of the Talking Fußball crew, I'll feed her.
Auf Wiedersehen.